Chapter 30, Cylinder Head and Valve Guide Service. Introduction. The repair and reconditioning of cylinder heads represents the most frequent engine repair operation of any engine component. The highest temperatures and pressures in the entire engine are located in the combustion chamber of the cylinder head. Its valves must open and close thousands of times when the engine is operated. Cylinder heads. Construction. Cylinder heads support the valves and valve train, and contain passages for the flow of intake, exhaust gases, coolant, and sometimes engine oil. In an overhead camshaft design engine, the cylinder head also supports all of the valve train components, including the camshaft, rocker arms, or followers, as well as the intake and exhaust valves and valve guides. See Figure 30.1. Design features. Most cylinder head designs incorporate the following design factors to achieve fast burning of the air-fuel mixture and to reduce exhaust emissions. These factors include squish area. This is an area of the combustion chamber where the piston nearly contacts the cylinder head. When the piston is moving upward toward the cylinder head, the air-fuel mixture is rapidly pushed out of the squish area, causing turbulence. Turbulence helps mix the air and fuel, thereby ensuring a more uniform and complete combustion. See Figure 30.2. Refer to Figure 30.1. The seats and guides for the valves are in the cylinder head, as well as the camshaft and the entire valve train if it is an overhead camshaft design. Quench area. The squish area can also be the quench area where the air-fuel mixture is cooled by the cylinder head. The quench area is the flat area of the combustion chamber that is above the flat area of the piston. As the piston moves upward down the compression stroke, the air-fuel mixture is forced from this area as the piston gets near the top. The quench area operates at lower temperatures than the rest of the combustion chamber and can cause the gasoline vapors to condense on these cooler surfaces, thereby helping to reduce detonation caused by the auto-ignition of these gases in the combustion chamber. Refer to Figure 30.2, a wedge-shaped combustion chamber showing the squish area where the air-fuel mixture is squeezed, causing turbulence that pushes the mixture toward the spark plug. Refer to Figure 30.3. Locating the spark plug in the center of the combustion chamber reduces the distance the flame front must travel. Spark plug placement. The best spark plug placement is at the center of the combustion chamber. See Figure 30.3. The closer to the center, the shorter the flames travel to all edges of the combustion chamber, which also reduces abnormal combustion, ping or spark knock. While it is best to have the spark plug in the center, some combustion chamber designs do not allow this, due to valve size, combustion chamber design, and valve placement. Some engines use two spark plugs per cylinder to achieve rapid combustion needed to meet exhaust emission standards. See Figure 30.4 for an example of a two spark plug combustion chamber used in a hemispherical, also known as HEMI, cylinder head design. Surface to volume ratio. This ratio is an important design consideration for combustion chambers. A typical surface to volume ratio is 7.5:1. Which means the surface area of the combustion chamber divided by the volume is 7.5. If the ratio is too high, there is a lot of surface area where fuel can adhere, causing an increase in unburned hydrocarbon, or HC, emissions. The cool cylinder head causes some of the air-fuel mixture to condense, resulting in a layer of liquid fuel on the surfaces of the combustion chamber. This layer of condensed fuel will not burn because it is not surrounded by oxygen needed for combustion. As a result, this unburnt fuel is pushed out of the cylinder by the piston on the exhaust stroke. Valve shrouding. Shrouding means that the valve is kept close to the walls of the combustion chamber to help increase mixture turbulence. Although shrouding the intake valve can help swirl and increase turbulence, it also reduces the flow into the engine at higher engine speeds. See Figure 30.5. Refer to Figure 30.4. The combustion chamber of the 5.7-liter Chrysler Hemi cylinder head shows the two spark plugs used to ensure rapid burn for best power and economy with the lowest possible exhaust emissions. Frequently asked question. What is carbon knock? Carbon knock was a common occurrence in older engines that were equipped with carburetors and high compression ratios. As carburetors aged, the mixture would tend to be richer than normal, due to a leaking needle and seat, as well as a fuel-saturated float. This richer mixture would often cause carbon deposits to form in the combustion chamber. During light load conditions when the spark advance was greatest, a spark knock would occur, caused by a higher compression ratio due to the carbon deposits. This knocking was often very loud, sounding like a rod-bearing noise, because in some cases the carbon deposits actually caused physical contact between the piston and the carbon. Many engines were disassembled in the belief that the cause of the knocking sound was a bearing, only to discover that the bearings were okay. Carbon knock can still occur in newer engines, especially if there is a fault in the fuel system that would allow a much richer than normal air-fuel mixture, causing excessive carbon deposits to form in the combustion chamber. Often a decarbonization using chemicals will correct the knocking. Refer to Figure 30.5. The shrouded area around the intake valve causes the intake mixture to swirl as it enters the combustion chamber. Crossflow valve placement. Valve placement in the cylinder head is an important factor in breathing efficiency. By placing the intake and the exhaust valves on the opposite sides of the combustion chamber, an easy path from the intake port through the combustion chamber to the exhaust port is provided. This is called a crossflow head design. See Figure 30.6. Combustion chamber designs. Combustion chamber shape has an effect on engine power and efficiency. The combustion chamber is created as two parts. The upper part consists of the cylinder head and cylinder walls. The lower part is the top of the piston. The most commonly used combustion chamber shapes include wedge, commonly found on many two-valve pushrod engines, cam and block designs, pentroof, commonly found on many four-valve overhead camshaft design engines, hemi, found on both cam and block and overhead camshaft design engines. Four-valve cylinder heads, adding more than two valves per cylinder permits more air to flow into and out of the engine with greater velocity without excessive valve duration. Valve duration is the number of degrees by which the crankshaft rotates when the valve is off the valve seat. Increased valve duration increases valve overlap. The valve overlap occurs when both valves are open at the same time at the end of the exhaust stroke and at the beginning of the intake stroke. At lower engine speeds, the gases can move back and forth between the open valves. Therefore, the greater valve duration hurts low engine speed performance and drivability, but it allows for more air-fuel mixture to enter the engine for better high-speed power. Valve size and lift. The maximum amount of gas moving through the opening area of a valve depends on the distance around the valve and the degree to which it lifts open. See Figure 30.7. Using normal opening lift of about 25% of the valve head diameter as an example, if the intake valve has a 2-inch diameter, the normal amount of lift off the seat, not cam lobe height, is 25% of 2 inches, or half of an inch. However, the amount of air-fuel mixture that can enter a cylinder depends on the total area around the valve, not just the amount of lift. The distance around a valve is calculated by the equation, pi times d, or 3.1416 times valve diameter. Refer to Figure 30.6, a typical cross-flow cylinder head design, where the flow into and out of the combustion chamber is from opposite sides of the cylinder head. Refer to Figure 30.7, method for measuring the valve opening space. More total area under the valve is possible when two smaller valves are used, rather than one larger valve at the same valve lift. The smaller valves allow smooth low-speed operation, because of increased velocity of the mixture as it enters the cylinder as a result of smaller intake ports. Good high-speed performance is also possible because of the increased valve area and lighter weight valves. See Figure 30.9. When four valves are used, either the combustion chamber has a pentroof design, with each pair of valves in line, or it is hemispherical, with each valve on its own axis. See Figure 30.10. Four valves on the pentroof design will be operated with dual overhead camshafts or with single overhead camshafts and rocker arms. When four valves are used, it is possible to place the spark plug at the center of the combustion chamber. Refer to Figure 30.8, comparing the valve opening areas between a 2- and 3-valve combustion chamber when the valves are open. Refer to Figure 30.9, typical 4-valve head. The total area of opening of two small intake valves and two smaller exhaust valves is greater than the area of a 2-valve head using much larger valves. The smaller valves also permit the use of smaller intake runners for better low-speed engine response. Refer to Figure 30.10, four valves in a pentroof combustion chamber. Intake and exhaust ports. Purpose and function. The part of the intake or exhaust system passage that is cast in the cylinder head is called a port. Ports lead from the manifolds to the valves. The most desirable port shape is not always possible because of space requirements in the head. Space is required for the head bolt bosses, valve guides, cooling passages, and pushrod openings. Inline engines may have both intake and exhaust ports located on the same side of the engine. On some older engines, two cylinders share the same port because of the restricted space available. Shared ports are called Siamese ports. Larger ports and better breathing are possible in engines that have the intake port on one side of the head and the exhaust port on the opposite side. Sometimes a restricting hump within a port may actually increase the airflow capacity of the port. It does this by redirecting the flow to an area of the port that is large enough to handle the flow. Modifications in the field, such as porting or relieving, would result in restricting the flow of such a carefully designed port. Intake ports, the intake port in a cylinder head designed for use with a carburetor or throttle body type fuel injection is relatively long, whereas the exhaust port is short. On engines designed for use with port fuel injection, the cylinder head ports are designed to help promote swirl in the combustion chamber, as shown in Figure 30.12. Tech tip. Horsepower is airflow. To get more power from an engine, more air needs to be drawn into the combustion chamber. One way to achieve more airflow is to increase the valve and port size of the cylinder heads along with a change in camshaft lift and duration to match the cylinder heads. One popular, but expensive, method is to replace the stock cylinder heads with high-performance cast iron or aluminum cylinder heads. Some vehicle manufacturers, such as Audi, go to great expense to design high-flow rate cylinder heads by installing 5-valve cylinder heads on some of their high-performance engines. See Figure 30.11. Refer to Figure 30.11, an Audi 5-valve cylinder head, which uses 3 intake valves and 2 exhaust valves. Refer to Figure 30.12. The intake manifold design and combustion chamber design both work together to cause the air-fuel mixture to swirl as it enters the combustion chamber. Exhaust ports, like the intake ports, are designed to allow the free flow of exhaust gases from the engine. The length of the exhaust ports is shorter than the intake ports to help reduce the amount of heat transferred to the coolant. See Figure 30.13. Refer to Figure 30.13. A port-injected engine showing the straight free-flowing intake and exhaust ports. Tech tip. Unshroud the intake valve for more power. If an engine is being rebuilt for high performance, most experts recommend that the shrouded section around the intake valve be removed. This operation increases the airflow and, therefore, the power that the engine can achieve, especially at higher engine speeds. This process is often called unshrouding. Cylinder head passages. Coolant flow passages. The engine is designed so that coolant will flow from the coolest portion of the engine to the warmest portion. The water pump takes the coolant from the radiator. The coolant is circulated through the block, where it is directed all around the cylinders. The coolant then flows upward through the gasket to the cooling passages cast into the cylinder head. The heated coolant is collected at a common point and returned to the radiator to be cooled and recycled. Note: reversed flow cooling systems, such as that used on the Chevrolet LT1, V8. Send the coolant from the radiator to the cylinder heads first. This results in a cooler cylinder head and allows for more spark advance without engine damaging detonation. Typical coolant passages in a head are shown in Figure 30.14. Refer to Figure 30.14, a cutaway head showing the coolant passages in green. Refer to Figure 30.15, coolant flows through the cylinder head, and the passages are sealed by the head gasket. In this case, the head gasket has failed, allowing coolant to enter the cylinder on the left. Head gasket holes, there are relatively large holes in the gasket surface of the head leading to the head cooling passages. The openings between the head and the block are usually too large for the correct coolant flow. When the openings are too large, the head gasket performs an important coolant flow function. Special size and smaller holes are made in the gasket. These holes correct the coolant flow rate at each opening. Therefore, it is important that the head gasket be installed correctly for proper engine cooling. See Figure 30.15. Lubricating oil passages. Lubricating oil is delivered to the overhead valve mechanism, either through the valve pushrods or through drilled passages in the head and block casting. There are special openings in the head gasket to allow the oil to pass between the block and head without leaking. After the oil passes through the valve mechanisms, it returns to the oil pan through oil return passages, usually called drain back holes. Some engines have drilled oil return holes, but most engines have large cast holes that allow the oil to return freely to the engine oil pan. The cast holes are large and do not easily become plugged. Note: many aluminum cylinder heads have smaller than normal drain back holes. If an engine has excessive oil consumption, check the drain holes before removing the engine. Cylinder head servicing. Cylinder head servicing sequence. Although not all cylinder heads require all service operations, cylinder heads should be reconditioned using the following sequence. Step 1. Disassemble and thoroughly clean the heads. Step 2. Check for cracks and repair as necessary. See Chapter 25. Step 3. Check the surface that contacts the engine block and machine. If necessary. See discussion later in this chapter. Step 4. Check valve guides and replace or service, as necessary. See discussion later in this chapter. Step 5. Grind valves and reinstall them in the cylinder head with new valve stem seals. See Chapter 27. Disassembling overhead camshaft head. The overhead camshaft will have either one-piece bearings in a solid bearing support or split bearings and a bearing cap. When one-piece bearings are used, the valve springs will have to be compressed with a fixture or the finger follower will have to be removed before the camshaft can be pulled out endwise. When bearing caps are used, they should be loosened alternately so that bending loads are not placed on either the cam or bearing caps. See Figures 30, 16 and 30, 17. Refer to Figure 30, 16. Overhead camshafts may be, figure, A, held in place with bearing caps, figure, B, supported by towers, or figure, C, fitted into bearing bores machined directly into the head. Refer to Figure 30, 17, always follow the specified loosening sequence to prevent valve spring tension from bending the camshaft. Refer to Figure 30, 18, push rods can be kept labeled if stuck through a cardboard box. Individual parts become worn together. Using cardboard is a crude but effective material to keep all valve train parts together and labeled exactly as they came from the engine. Valve train disassembly, disassemble the cylinder head as discussed in Chapter 24. All valve train components that are to be reused must be kept together. As wear occurs, parts are worn together. Be sure to keep the top part of the pushrod at the top. Keep the rocker arms with the same pushrods as they were together. See Figure 30, 18. Intake and exhaust valve springs can be different and must be kept with the correct valve. Cylinder head inspection, the surface must be thoroughly cleaned and inspected as follows. Step 1, after removing the old gasket material, use a file and draw it across the surface of the head to remove any small burrs. Step 2, the head should be checked in 5 planes. Checking the cylinder head gasket surface with a precision straightedge in 5 planes checks the head for warp edge, distortion, bend, and twist. See Figure 30, 19. These defects are determined by trying to slide a 0.004 of an inch, or 0.1 millimeters, feeler gauge under a precision straight edge held against the head surface. The clearance between the cylinder head and the straight edge should not vary by over 0.002 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters, in any 6 inch, or 15 centimeters, length, or by more than 0.004 of an inch overall. Always check the manufacturer's recommended specifications. See Figure 30, 20. Refer to Figure 30, 19. Cylinder heads should be checked in 5 planes for warp edge, distortion, bend, and twist. Refer to Figure 30, 20. A precision ground straightedge and a feeler gauge are used to check the cylinder head for flatness. Note, the cylinder head surface that mates with the top deck of the block is often called the fire deck. Note, always check the cylinder head thickness and specifications to be sure that material can be safely removed from the surface. Some manufacturers do not recommend any machining, but rather require cylinder head replacement if cylinder head surface flatness is not within specifications. Aluminum cylinder head straightening. Purpose and function: aluminum expands at about twice the rate of cast iron when heated. Aluminum cylinder heads used on cast iron blocks can warp and/or crack if they are overheated. The expanding cylinder head first hits the head bolts. Further expansion of the head causes the head to expand upward and bow in the center. If a warped, or bowed, cylinder head is resurfaced, the stresses of expansion are still present, and if the cylinder head uses an overhead camshaft, further problems exist. If the cylinder head is distorted into a D shape, the camshaft centerline bearing supports must also be restored. See Figure 30, 21. To restore the straightness of the cam bearing bore, or, sometimes called the cam tunnel, a line boring and/or honing may be necessary. The best approach to restore a warped aluminum cylinder head, especially an overhead camshaft head, is to relieve the stress that has caused the warp edge and to straighten the head before machining. Refer to Figure 30-21, Warped Overhead Camshaft Cylinder Head. If the gasket surface is machined to be flat, the camshaft bearings will still not be in proper alignment. The solution is to straighten the cylinder head or to align bore the cam tunnel. Step 1. Determine the amount of warp edge with a straight edge and thickness, or, feeler, gauge. Cut shim stock, thin strips of metal, to one half of the amount of the warp edge. Place shims of this thickness under each end of the head. Step 2. Tighten the center of the cylinder head down on a strong, flat base. A 2-inch thick piece of steel that is 8 inches wide by 20 inches long makes a good support for the gasket surface of the cylinder head. Use anti-seize compound on the bolt threads to help in bolt removal. Step 3. Place the head and base in an oven for 5 hours at 500 degrees Fahrenheit, or 260 degrees Celsius. Turn the oven off and leave the assembly in the oven. Note, if the temperature is too high, the valve seat inserts may fall out of the head. At 500 degrees Fahrenheit, a typical valve seat will still be held into the aluminum head with a 0.002 of an inch interference fit based on calculations of thermal expansion of the aluminum head and steel insert. Allow the head to cool in the oven for 4 to 5 hours to relieve any stress in the aluminum from the heating process. For best results, the cooling process should be allowed to occur overnight. Several cylinder heads can be cooked together. If the cylinder head is still warped, the heating and cooling process can be repeated. After the head is straightened and the stress relieved, the gasket surface, or fire deck, can be machined in the usual manner. To prevent possible camshaft bore misalignment problems, do not machine more than 0.01 to 0.015 inch, 0.25 to 0.38 mm, from the head gasket surface. Cylinder head resurfacing. Refinishing methods. Two common resurfacing methods are milling or broaching. Grinding. A milling type of resurfacer uses metal cutting tool bits fastened in a disc. This type is also called a broach. The disc is the rotating workhead of the mill. The surface grinder type uses a large diameter abrasive wheel. Both types of resurfacing can be done with table type and with precision type surfacers. With a table type surfacer, the head or block is passed over the cutting head that extends slightly above a work table. The abrasive wheel is dressed before grinding begins. The wheel head is adjusted to just touch the surface. At this point, the feed is calibrated to zero. This is necessary so that the operator knows exactly the size of the cut being made. Light cuts are taken. The abrasive wheel cuts are limited to 0.005 of an inch, or 0.015 millimeters. See Figure 30, 22. The abrasive wheel surface should be wire brushed after each 5 passes, and the wheel should be redressed after grinding each 0.1 of an inch, or 2.5 millimeters. The mill type cutting wheel can remove up to 0.03 of an inch, or 0.075 millimeters, on each pass. A special mill cutting tool or a dull grinding wheel is used when aluminum heads are being resurfaced. Note, resurfacing the cylinder head changes the compression ratio of the engine by about 1/10 point per 0.01 of an inch of removed material. For example, the compression ratio would be increased from 9.0:1 to 9.2:1 if 0.02 of an inch were removed from a typical cylinder head. Refer to Figure 30, 22, a cast iron cylinder head being resurfaced using a surface grinder. Refer to Figure 30, 23, a graph showing a typical rough surface as would be viewed through a magnifying glass. RA is an abbreviation indicating the average height of all peaks and valleys. Surface finish. The surface finish of a reconditioned part is as important as the size of the part. Surface finish is measured in units called microinches. The symbol in front of the inch abbreviation is the Greek letter mu. 1 microinch equals 0.000001 of an inch, or 0.025 micrometer. The finish classification in microinches gives the distance between the highest peak and the deepest valley. The usual method of expressing surface finish is by the arithmetic average roughness height, known as RA. That is, the average of the distances of all peaks and valleys from the mean, or average, line. Surface finish is measured using a machine with a diamond stylus. See Figure 30, 23. Another classification of surface finish, which is becoming obsolete, is called the root mean square, known as RMS. The RMS is a slightly higher number and can be obtained by multiplying R times 1.11. Typical surface finish roughness recommendations for cast iron and aluminum cylinder heads and blocks include the following. Cast iron. Maximum is 110 RA, or 125 RMS. Rough surfaces can limit gasket movement and conformity. Minimum is 30 RA, or 33 RMS. Smoother surfaces increase the tendency of the gasket to flow and reduce gasket sealing ability. Recommended range is 60 to 100 RA, or 65 to 110 RMS. Aluminum. Maximum is 60 RA, or 65 RMS. Minimum is 30 RA, or 33 RMS. Recommended range is 50 to 60 RA, or 55 to 65 RMS. The rougher the surface is, the higher the microinch finish measurement will be. Typical preferred microinch finish standards for other engine components include the following. The crank and rod journal is 10 to 14 RA, or 12 to 15 RMS. Honed cylinder is 18 to 32 RA, or 20 to 35 RMS. Connecting rod big end is 45 to 72 RA, or 50 to 80 RMS. Tech tip. The potato chip problem. Most cylinder heads are warped or twisted in the shape of a typical potato chip, high at the ends and dipped in the center. After a cylinder head is ground, the surface should be perfectly flat. A common problem involves grinding the cylinder head in both directions while it is being held on the table that moves to the left and right. Most grinders are angled by about 4 degrees. The lower part of the stone should be the cutting edge. If grinding occurs along the angled part of the stone, then too much heat is generated. This heat warps the head, or block, upward in the middle. The stone then removes this material, and the end result is a slight, about 0.0015 of an inch, depression in the center of the finished surface. To help prevent this from happening, always feed the grinder in the forward direction only, especially during removal of the last 0.003 of an inch of material. Intake manifold alignment. Purpose: the intake manifold of a V-type engine may no longer fit correctly after the gasket surfaces of the heads are ground. The ports and the assembly bolt holes may no longer match. The intake manifold surface must be resurfaced to remove enough metal to rematch the ports and bolt holes. The amount of metal that must be removed depends on the angle between the head gasket surface and the intake manifold gasket surface. See Figure 30, 24. Procedure: automotive machine shops that perform head resurfacing have tables that specify the exact amount of metal to be removed. It is usually necessary to also remove some metal from both the front and the back gasket surfaces of closed-type intake manifolds used on V-type engines. This is necessary to provide a good gasket seal that will prevent oil leakage from the lifter valley. See Figure 30, 25. Caution: do not remove any more material than is necessary to restore a flat cylinder head to block surface. Some manufacturers limit total material that can be removed from the block deck and cylinder head to 0.008 of an inch, or 0.2 millimeters. Removal of material from the cylinder head of an overhead camshaft engine shortens the distance between the camshaft and the crankshaft. This causes the valve timing to be retarded unless a special copper spacer shim is placed between the block deck and the gasket to restore proper crankshaft to camshaft centerline dimension. Refer to Figure 30, 24. The material that must be removed for a good manifold fit. Refer to Figure 30, 25, using an intake manifold template to check for the proper angles after the cylinder heads have been machined. Valve types. Types: the valve guide supports the valve stem so that the valve face will remain perfectly centered, or concentric, with the valve seat. The valve guide is generally integral with the head casting and cast iron heads for better heat transfer and for lower manufacturing costs. See Figure 30. 26. Removable or pressed-in valve guides and valve seat inserts are always used in aluminum heads. See Figure 30, 27. No matter how good the valves or seats are, they cannot operate properly if the valve guide is not accurate. In use, the valve opening mechanism pushes the valve tip sideways. This is the major cause of valve stem and guide wear. The movement of the valve causes both the top and bottom ends of the guide to wear until the guide has bell mouth shapes at both ends. See Figure 30. 28. Refer to Figure 30, 26. An integral valve guide is simply a guide that has been drilled into the cast iron cylinder head. Valve stem to guide clearance. Engine manufacturers usually recommend the following valve stem to guide clearances. The intake valve is 0.001 to 0.003 of an inch, or 0.025 to 0.076 millimeters. The exhaust valve is 0.002 to 0.004 of an inch, or 0.05 to 0.1 millimeters, be sure to check the exact specifications for the engine being serviced. The exhaust valve clearance is greater than the intake valve clearance because the exhaust valve runs hotter and, therefore, expands more than the intake valve. Excessive valve stem to guide clearance can cause excessive oil consumption. The intake valve guide is exposed to manifold vacuum that can draw oil from the top of the cylinder head down into the combustion chamber. In this situation, valves can also run hotter than usual because much of the heat in the valve is transferred to the cylinder head through the valve guide. Note: a human hair is about 0.002 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters, in diameter. Therefore, The typical clearance between a valve stem and the valve guide is only the thickness of a human hair. Refer to Figure 30, 27, all aluminum cylinder heads use valve guide inserts. Refer to Figure 30, 28, valve guides often wear to a bell mouth shape to both ends due to the forces exerted on the valve by the valve train components. Measuring valve guides, valves should be measured for stem wear before valve guides are measured. The valve guide is measured in the middle with a small hole gauge. The gauge size is checked with a micrometer. The guide is then checked at each end. The expanded part of the ball should be placed crosswise to the engine where the greatest amount of valve guide wear exists. The dimension of the valve stem diameter is subtracted from the dimension of the valve guide diameter. If the clearance exceeds the specified clearance, then the valve guide will have to be reconditioned. See Figures 30, 29 and 30, 30. Valve stem to guide clearance can also be checked using a dial indicator, or gauge, to measure the amount of movement of the valve when lifted off the valve seat. See Figure 30, 31. Refer to Figure 30, 29. A small hole gauge and a micrometer are being used to measure the valve guide. The guide should be measured in three places, at the top, middle, and bottom. Refer to Figure 30, 30. The diameter of the valve stem is being measured using a micrometer. The difference between the inside diameter of the valve guide and the diameter of the valve stem is the valve guide to stem clearance. Refer to Figure 30, 31, measuring valve guide to stem clearance with a dial indicator while rocking the stem in the direction of normal thrust. The reading on the dial indicator should be compared to specifications because it does not give the guide to stem clearance directly. The valve is usually held open to its maximum operating lift. After checking in this direction, rotate the dial indicator and measure the movement 90 degrees from what is shown. Oversized stem valves. Some domestic vehicle manufacturers that have integral valve guides in their engines recommend reaming worn valve guides and installing new valves with oversized NOAS, OS, stems. When a valve guide is worn, the valve stem is also likely to be worn. In this case, new valves are required. If new valves are used, they can just as well have oversized stems as standard stems. Typically, available sizes include 0.003, 0.005, 0.015, and 0.03-inch OS. The valve guide is reamed or honed to the correct size to fit the oversized stem of the new valve. The resulting clearance of the valve stem in the guide is the same as the original clearance. The oil clearance and the heat transfer properties of the original valve and guide are not changed when new valves with oversized stems are installed. Note: many remanufacturers of cylinder heads use oversized valve stems to simplify production. Tech tip: tight is not always right. Many engine manufacturers specify a valve stem to guide clearance of 0.001 to 0.003 of an inch, or 0.025 to 0.076 millimeters. However, some vehicles, especially those equipped with aluminum cylinder heads, may specify a much greater clearance. For example, many Chrysler 2.2 and 2.5-liter engines have a specified valve stem to guide clearance of 0.003 to 0.005 of an inch, or 0.076 to 0.127 millimeters. This amount of clearance feels loose to those technicians accustomed to normal valve stem clearance specifications. Although this large amount of clearance may seem excessive, remember that the valve stem increases in diameter as the engine warms up. Therefore, the operating clearance is smaller than the clearance measured at room temperature. Always double-check factory specifications before replacing a valve guide for excessive wear. Frequently asked question: what is valve guide knurling? In an old and now outdated process known as valve guide knurling, a tool is rotated as it is driven into the guide. The tool displaces the metal to reduce the hole diameter of the guide. Knurling is ideally suited to engines with integral valve guides, or guides that are part of the cylinder head and are non-removable. It is recommended that knurling not be used to correct wear exceeding 0.006 of an inch, or 0.15 millimeters. In the displacing process, the knurling tool pushes a small tapered wheel or dull threading tool into the wall of the guide hole. This makes a groove in the wall of the guide, similar to a threading operation without removing any metal. The metal piles up along the edge of the groove just as dirt would pile up along the edge of a tire track as the tire rolled through soft dirt. The dirt would be displaced from under the wheel to form a small ridge alongside the tire track, see Figure 30, 32. The knurling tool is driven by an electric drill and an attached speed reducer that slows the rotating speed of the knurling tool. The reamers that accompany the knurling set will ream just enough to provide the correct valve stem clearance for commercial reconditioning standards. The valve guides are honed to size in the precision shop when precise fits are desired. Clearances of knurled valve guides are usually one half of the new valve guide clearances. Such small clearance can be used because knurling leaves so many small oil rings down the length of the guide for lubrication. Refer to Figure 30, 32, sectional view of a knurled valve guide. Valve guide replacement. Purpose: when an engine is designed with replaceable valve guides, their replacement is always recommended when the valve assembly is being reconditioned. The original valve guide height should be measured before the guide is removed so that the new guide can be properly positioned. After the valve guide height is measured, the worn guide is pressed from the head with a proper fitting driver. See Figure 30, 33. The driver has a stem to fit the guide opening and a shoulder that pushes on the end of the guide. If the guide has a flange, care should be taken to ensure that the guide is pushed out from the correct end, usually from the port side and toward the rocker arm side. The new guide is pressed into the guide bore using the same driver. Make sure that the guide is pressed to the correct depth. After the guides are replaced, they are reamed or honed to the proper inside diameter. Replacement valve guides can also be installed to repair worn integral guides. Both cast iron and bronze guides are available. Valve guide sizes. Three common valve guide sizes are as follows: 5/16, bore 0.313 of an inch; 11/32, bore 0.343 of an inch; and 3/8, or 0.375 of an inch. Refer to Figure 30, 33, valve guide replacement procedure. Tech tip: right side up. When replacing valve guides, it is important that the recommended procedures be followed. Most manufacturers specify that replaceable guides be driven from the combustion chamber side toward the rocker arm side. For example, big block Chevrolet V8 heads, 396, 402, 427, and 454-inch 3, have a 0.004 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters, taper, small end toward the combustion chamber. Other manufacturers, however, may recommend driving the old guide from the rocker arm side to prevent any carbon buildup on the guide from damaging the guide bore. Always check the manufacturer's recommended procedures before attempting to replace a valve guide. Valve guide inserts. When the integral valve guide is badly worn, it can be reconditioned using an insert. This repair method is usually preferred in heavy-duty and high-speed engines. Two types of guide inserts are commonly used for guide repair: thin-walled bronze alloy sleeve bushing, spiral bronze alloy bushing. The thin-walled bronze sleeve bushings are also called bronze guide liners. The valve guide rebuilding kit used to install each of these bushings includes all of the reamers, installing sleeves, broaches, burnishing tools, and cutoff tools that are needed to install and properly size the bushings. The valve guide must be bored to a large enough size to accept the thin-walled insert sleeve. The boring tool is held in alignment by a rugged fixture. One type is shown in Figure 30, 34. Depending on the make of the equipment, the boring fixture is aligned with the valve guide hole, the valve seat, or the head gasket surface. First, the boring fixture is properly aligned. The guide is then bored, making a hole somewhat smaller than the insert sleeve that will be used. The bored hole is reamed to make a precise smooth hole that is still slightly smaller than the insert sleeve. The insert sleeve is installed with a press fit that holds it in the guide. The press fit also helps to maintain normal heat transfer from the valve to the head. The thin-walled insert sleeve is held in an installing sleeve. A driver is used to press the insert from the installing sleeve into the guide. A broach is then pressed through the insert sleeve to firmly seat it in the guide. The broach is designed to put a knurl in the guide to aid in lubrication. The insert sleeve is then trimmed to the valve guide length. Finally, the insert sleeve is reamed or honed to provide the required valve stem clearance. A very close clearance of 0.0005 of an inch, or 1/2 of 1/1000th of an inch, R, 0.013 mm, is often used with a bronze thin-walled insert sleeve. See Figure 30, 35. Refer to Figure 30, 34, a type of fixture required to bore the valve guide to accept a thin-walled insert sleeve. Spiral bronze insert bushings. The spiral bronze alloy insert bushing is screwed into a thread that is put in the valve guide. The tap used to put cut threads in the valve guide has a long pilot ahead of the thread cutting portion of the tap. This aids in restoring the original guide alignment. The long pilot is placed in the guide from the valve seat end. A power driver is attached to the end of the pilot that extends from the spring end of the valve guide. The threads are cut in the guide from the seat end toward the spring end as the power driver turns the tap, pulling it toward the driver. The tap is stopped before it comes out of the guide, and the power driver is removed. The thread is carefully completed by hand to avoid breaking either the end of the guide or the tap. An installed spiral bronze insert bushing can be seen in Figure 30, 36. The spiral bronze bushing is tightened on an inserting tool. This holds it securely in the wound-up position so that it can be screwed into the spring end of the guide. It is screwed in until the bottom of the bushing is flush with the seat end of the guide. The holding tool is removed, and the bushing material is trimmed to one coil above the spring end of the guide. The end of the bushing is temporarily secured with a plastic serrated bushing retainer and a worm gear clamp. This holds the bushing in place as a broach is driven through the bushing to firmly seat it in the threads. The bushing is reamed or honed to size before the temporary bushing retainer is removed. The final step is to trim the end of the bushing with a special cutoff tool that is included in the bushing installation toolset. This type of spiral bronze bushing can be removed by using a pick to free the end of the bushing. It can then be stripped out and a new bushing inserted in the original threads in the guide hole. New threads do not have to be put in the guide. The spiral bushing design has natural spiral grooves to hold oil for lubrication. The valve stem clearances are the same as those used for knurling and for the thin-walled insert, or about one half of the standard recommended clearance. Refer to Figure 30, 35, trimming the top of the thin-walled insert. Refer to Figure 30, 36, installed spiral bronze insert bushing. Review questions. 1. What is meant by the term cross-flow head? 2. What is a Siamese port? 3. What is the recommended cylinder head reconditioning sequence? 4. What are the advantages of using 4 valves per cylinder? 5. How is valve stem to guide clearance measured? Chapter Quiz. 1. Cylinder heads with 4 valves flow more air than those with 2 valves because they A. have a greater open area. B. use a higher lift camshaft. C. increase the velocity of the air. D. both A and C. 2. Two technicians are discussing a Hemi engine. Technician A says that a Hemi is an engine with a hemispherical-shaped combustion chamber. Technician B says that all Hemi engines are cam and block designs. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. 3. Technician A says that an Audi 5-valve engine uses 3 intake valves and 2 exhaust valves. Technician B says that it uses 3 exhaust valves and 2 intake valves. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. 4. The gasket surface of a cylinder head, as measured with a precision straight edge, should have a maximum variation of A. 0.002 of an inch in any 6-inch length, or 0.004 of an inch overall. B. 0.001 of an inch in any 6-inch length, or 0.004 of an inch overall. C. 0.020 of an inch in any 10-inch length, or 0.02 of an inch overall. D. 0.004 of an inch in any 10-inch length, or 0.008 of an inch overall. 5. A warped aluminum cylinder head can be restored to useful service by A. grinding the gasket surface and then align honing the camshaft bore. B. heating it in an oven at 500 degrees Fahrenheit with shims under each end, allowing it to cool, and then machining it. C. heating it to 500 degrees Fahrenheit for 5 hours and cooling it rapidly before final machining. D. machining the gasket surface to one half of the warped amount and then heating the head in an oven and allowing it to cool slowly. 6. Some vehicle manufacturers recommend repairing integral guides with A. OS stem valves. B. knurling. C. replacement valve guides. D. valve guide inserts. 7. Typical valve stem to guide clearances. A. 0.03 to 0.045 of an inch, or 0.8 to 1 mm. B. 0.015 to 0.02 of an inch, or 0.4 to half a millimeter, C. 0.005 to 0.01 of an inch, or 0.13 to 0.25 millimeters, D. 0.001 to 0.004 of an inch, or 0.03 to 0.05 millimeters. 8. What other engine component may have to be machined if the cylinder heads are machined on a V-type engine? A. Exhaust manifold. B. Intake manifold. C. Block deck. D. Distributor mount, if the vehicle is so equipped. 9. Which type of valve guide is most used in a cast iron head? A. Integral. B. Bronze. C. Powdered metal, or PM. D. Thin-walled sleeve type. 10. Which statement is true about surface finish? A. Cast iron surfaces should be smoother than aluminum surfaces. B. The rougher the surface, the higher the micro-inch finish measurement. C. The smoother the surface, the higher the micro-inch finish measurement. D. A cylinder head should be much smoother than a crankshaft journal. End of chapter 30.